Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you as we begin a verse-by-verse study of the book of Amos. We will introduce Amos and cover the first five verses in this study. You'll find the conclusion of this two-part study at that website, BBFOhio.com, along with many other free Bible studies and resources. And you can also find our contact and donation information there as well, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Amos chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, titled Introducing Amos and Judgment on Damascus. This is part 1 of 2.
Boy, that got a lot louder Sunday, wasn't it? Liberals are dangerous liars who cannot be trusted. I can tell you, there's a lot of people who tell you, conservatives who tell you what I just said is not true. They'll say it's leftists. It's a big deception among conservatives. They want to make a difference between liberals and leftists. There are exceptions among liberals, but today most liberals are leftists. They may not call themselves that, but they are. But watch this crooked BLM leader, Black Lives Matter leader, completely distort the reality of a visit from Candace Owens. Have any of you seen this yet? Watch this.
This morning I woke up to Candace Owens being outside of my house with a news crew. She was demanding that I come outside.
Hello. I was just looking to speak to whoever is at this property because it's listed as the Black Lives Matter property. Sir? Hello?
The fact that she's came outside my house and demanded things, harassed me, is unacceptable.
We're not trying to harass you. We'll gladly leave. We're just wondering if we can speak to anybody.
Y'all, I really need my family to be safe. I need to be safe. I need my child to be safe. And this, what happened this morning is not safety.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
That's how they do it. I haven't been following it, but I get the feeling that's what you're seeing with the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp thing.
That thing is so stupid.
And I think you're going to see it. Now, it's a shame because there are women who are harassed. There are women who are abused. But these people make it hard to really defend the women who need defending because they're liars. And if you watch that, I mean, it's just amazing. Candace was as nice and sweet as she could be. So, ignore these warnings, should be plural, to your own peril. I've been warning people for years, and I've seen it over the years, where people, I'm telling you, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You can be friendly. You should be. You want to, and you know, witness. You want to see them saved. Pray for them. If they're ever in need, help them. But that's different than buddying up to them, letting them become real intimate with your the knowledge of your life and becoming real close-knit in your home, your family. I'm telling you, I've seen it where they'll be the first one to call the authorities or to call CPS, spank your kids, and let a liberal know about it. You know what I mean? 2 John 7 says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." I say it over and over and over. That's the definition of a liberal. A liberal denies. Just ask that lady that Candace was dealing with. If she believes the biblical Jesus Christ, God in flesh and only Savior of the world, is come in the flesh. I've explained this, why the King James Bible says is come in the flesh, not has come in the flesh. Because he's not a has-been. Amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And these people, they don't believe that. They believe Jesus was, they'll give him lip service because they don't want to offend everybody, but they don't believe he's the only Savior of the world. I'm sure every liberal you talk to, as long as you're sincere, if they even believe in heaven, it's as long as you're sincere. And number two is similar to it. In an effort to further divide America, liberal Democrats and progressive rhinos pushed the white supremacist hoax. How many of you saw Joe Biden, that senile reprobate, on TV trying to stir up hatred on in America, claiming that white supremacy is the major danger in this country?
That's
it's a lie. It's important you deal with it. I know that there's jokes and all that, but I mean, you need to really understand this. They are trying to divide this country with race, and they're trying to make black people despise white people, and they're trying to make white people apologize for being white, and they're trying to make the Asian people, you know, apologize for being Asian and so forth. Just listen to this. This is a non-Christian Jew. Now, white supremacists, they exist, but they're a small number of people in this country. There's not even a million of them in reality as far as anybody seriously espousing white supremacy. 350 million people in this country. There's way more Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, those cults, and there's way more people involved in dangerous religious movements than there is white supremacists in this country. But listen to this guy. His name is Dennis Prager. He's a non-Christian. He's a Jew. And he talks to a black liberal about white supremacy. You got all of them covered there. All we need is a Hispanic on there. We have it all.
10 people were killed. A number of others were wounded in a shooting on Saturday. And you find it necessary for today, on just Tuesday, to take time on your show to try to point out incidences where mostly nobody was killed, but there were just accusations that were thrown.
It's a very fair question, Philip. That's why I took your call, but I have an answer. I don't know if it'll satisfy you, but I do have an answer. Number one, I believe that the ongoing lying of the left is a greater danger to the country than white supremacy. I am much more afraid of the left than I am of white supremacists. Number two, yesterday I spoke about the Saturday killings every one of my 3 hours.
But you're not afraid of white supremacy.
That is correct.
But
hate Jews as much as they hate blacks. And I'm a Jew.
But black people... Okay, but black people and Jews are dying at the hands, because I think there was a shooting in...
Right. There are far more people dying in this country on random murders. So if you want to talk about numbers of dead, you don't have a case. White supremacists are Boy Scouts compared to your everyday murderer.
This is my point, because you're enabling white supremacists. You say that you're not afraid of them. You say that they're...
That's right. Wait,
Jews,
so if you're not afraid of someone, you enable them?
I'm saying what you're doing is, on your platform, you're saying that you're not afraid of white...
That's correct. I'm not.
Of course, because
they're a tiny number.
I mean,
there are a tiny number of them. It's a gigantic left-wing hoax about white supremacists dominant in this country. It's a hoax. It's a gigantic lie.
Okay,
because leftists lie. The moment you love truth, you leave the left.
So that's so sad. So you're saying that the 10 people that died this weekend and the people that Dylan Roof killed in a church, right? And I think that's something you should at least be able to respect, that their lives should be trivialized.
You've jumped to a conclusion that makes literally no sense. Why are their lives trivialized if I say white supremacy is not a big threat? They died at the hands of white supremacists. They're dead. No. Far more people die at the hands of everyday murderers, a disproportionate number of whom are black, including mostly black victims. Do you give a crap about them? Did you ever call a radio show about your fellow blacks? Tell me, answer me. Did you ever once call a... If you don't answer, I'm letting go. I answered you. Did you ever call a radio show about all the blacks killed by blacks in America?
Of course I have.
Really?
So I've called your show.
About, and what, you to lament how many blacks are killed by blacks? Is that what you called about?
Again, you're enabling with... See, this is what you're doing. Again, you want to deflect, and you want to talk about everything
I'm
else.
Not, yes, I am deflecting, because it's a gigantic lie that white supremacy... Okay, all right, so we differ. Okay, there's nothing to talk about. What can I do, my friend? We've reached an impasse. You think white supremacy is a great threat in this country? I think it's a gigantic hoax of the left. They lie and lie and lie, and you bought the lie. And it depresses me that you bought the lie. As a black man in this country, you have, and if you live in a black community, you have much more to fear from an everyday black shooter than from a white supremacist shooter. That's a statistical fact. Okay? That's a statistical fact. Facts don't matter to the left, but it's very sad. The number of black writers who write on this, Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal, of course, Larry Elder, and so many others. But of course, they're called sellouts, race traitors, the black face of white supremacy. Any black who tells the truth is called a white supremacist.
That's it.
Yeah.
We got some great black leaders, black spokesmen in this country, and they're telling the truth about what's going on, and they're labeled Uncle Tom. That's what I tell you. Leftist liberals are the real racists.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And if a black man wants to think for himself, a black woman wants to think for herself and not go along with... That's why the NAACP, that's not a real name. They should be called the NAABL. The National Advancement or National Association for the Advancement of Black Liberals.
Yeah.
Because if you're a black conservative, they don't stand up for you.
Yeah.
And they don't stand for you. They don't represent what you believe. And so this Jew, who's not a Christian, like I said, he's hated by any true white supremacist, but he's dealing with the reality. The reality is the news that you're seeing night after night is not the news. It's propaganda. They do not give you a balanced perspective about what's going on in this country. They do whatever they can to stir you up. They are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies, and they are loaded with leftist liberals. There are very few conservatives. There are very few Christians in any level of, but especially on the national level, but even on the local level. I've talked to two men who worked for local TV. One of them worked for WCMH. This was years ago. His first name was Bruce. I can't remember his last name. And he told me, he said, even then, he said he couldn't stand it. It was so anti-conservative and anti-Christian. And they selectively put a story out there that looks like it's okay for conservatives and Christians, but they're very selective about it. It's one that pretty much everybody agrees on. Well, that doesn't make it a conservative story. I mean, it's just a story. So Prager was targeted by the left-wing propaganda outfit, one of them called PolitiFact, one of these fact-checker. It was during a recent broadcast, he said that once Elon Musk takes control of Twitter, Twitter will be flooded with hate, and a lot of it will come from people on the left who want to show how hate-filled it is. It's like their race hoax history.
Industry.
If you see a noose on a college dorm of a black student, the odds are overwhelming that the noose was put there by a black student. If you see the N-word on a dorm building, the odds are overwhelming that a black student actually did that. We're filled with race hoaxes. They're trying to make the races hate each other.
Yeah.
He said, One of the better-known self-proclaimed fact-checkers, PolitiFact, declared his claim false. We know what he what I just quoted is true. And they claimed it was... But look what he says. They offered no refutation of what I said and provided no examples of nooses or the N-word on campuses perpetrated by white supremacists. No examples of it. Instead, they made a self-defeating argument. Experts who track hate crimes told PolitiFact that there isn't even a nationwide data source that Prager could have used to pin down the number of incidents, real or fake, that specifically involved hanging a noose or scrawling the racist insult on college buildings and grounds. Well, so if there's no such database, how could PolitiFact declare what he said false? At most, they could say maybe true, maybe false.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't matter. They don't care about the facts. Prager then lists a sampling of more than 20 such hoax examples, and I'm just going to show you a few of them. You haven't seen these on your news. Now, if these were white supremacists doing this, they'd be all over the news. But in 2007, Madonna G. Constantine, a psychology and education professor at Teachers College, Columbia University, claimed she found a noose at her door. ABC News described her as a respected professor at Columbia University Teachers College. This incident is the latest in a growing number of noose incidents in the United States. None of them have turned out to be true. The subsequent investigation revealed that Constantine made it all up. Who was the guy that did that for NASCAR?
Jesse Smollett.
Yeah. No, that was a different one at NASCAR. Yeah.
Bubba something. Yeah.
And they claimed he had a noose on his... He's like the only one of two, I think, black drivers. And he claimed there was a noose. And every one of those doors has a rope that you pull on. And it's got a thing on the end so you can grab it. It's not a noose. Anyway, that's... I'm not going to go through all these, but I just want you to see. Look at all these. One after another. Vassar College, University of Ohio, Clemson, University of Chicago, a Muslim at the University of Texas, University of Delaware. There was a bag of poop at Vanderbilt University's Black Cultural Center in 2015. Most of the school initially believed it was put there due to racism. It turned out that a blind female student walking her dog could not find the trash can to throw away the guide dog's excrement. So it wasn't even... She didn't do it. She was just blind, couldn't find the trash can. They turned it into a big hoax.
Wow.
And then on and on it goes. These are all hoaxes. There's four of them right there. Another couple there. Three of them there. And all hoaxes. And only one or two made the news. So most people are unaware that all over the country are all these leftists, mostly leftists, trying to stir up hatred with these hoaxes. Guess who is paying for PolitiFact who went after Prager?
George Soros.
Bingo. PolitiFact is owned by the Poynter Institute, a left-wing organization funded in part by George Soros and other leftists.
Yep.
So don't go to PolitiFact unless you want to be lied to. And every time you see on these news shows when they're checking, fact-checking, they'll quote PolitiFact. So there you go. There's where we're at.
Might as well call it PolitiLie then.
PolitiLie. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm excited to get into Amos. There's a lot of verses in Amos you'll be familiar with. They're quoted a lot. And Amos is one of those guys that you get to know and... Well, we're going to see Amos is in a time when he's prophesying very similar to where we live. Excuse me. So we begin our verse by verse expository study of the book of Amos. And we're going to read just the first two verses to begin. So go ahead and read both of them with me. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Amen? So we begin right there with the first few words, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen a few miles from Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I think I have a map in a minute. We'll show you that. But Amos was originally just a herdsman and a local farmhand called to the ministry of the prophet. So he was just minding his own business, taking care of his sheep, plucking the fruit from the sycamore, different than the sycamores here. They have, I don't think you want to eat what comes off the sycamores here. But over there, there's a sycamore that has a fruit that they actually would eat. All right, so Jenny Albaugh is going to read over a few pages, Amos 7, 14 through 15. Go ahead.
Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel.
Isn't that neat? He's just a hardworking man, mind his own business. It reminded me of the joke that one of the preachers told. Said that there was a fella who was out farming, and he looked up in the sky, and one of those airplanes with the smoke wrote the letters GP, and he took that as a sign from God to go preach. And it was J. Vernon McGee, I heard tell this. And he said, and I heard that man, and I believe he got that wrong. I think that GP meant go plow. So you better be sure God's calling you. But it's just interesting. This was a statue of Joel, which we don't know what he looked like, obviously. And I just thought it was funny because it's in Brazil. And it came up in my searches as I was going through doing some searches. And that little thing he's holding there is in Latin. But in English it says, Made first shepherd and then a prophet, I turn against the fat cows and the heads of Israel. I thought that was pretty good. So the words of Amos, and it says, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. How many of you knew where Tekoa was before tonight? That's most people. It's a few miles from Bethlehem and Jerusalem. There's your map. If you look, you see Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and just below there, Tekoa. Isn't that neat? So you can't say you didn't learn something tonight, amen?
Amen.
But that gives you another little idea. They call it the Desert of Tekoa, and it's not too far. It's right as you're getting to the big cliffs that then lead down to the Dead Sea. Tekoa isn't known for anything other than being the home of Amos. It's still there today, they say. Any of you been to Israel? I think I've asked this group before. No, you have. So then verse 1 closes, which he saw concerning Israel. He saw the visions, the words, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Isn't that interesting? The words of Amos, which he saw concerning Israel.
Interesting.
In the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Yeah, that sounds strange, doesn't it? 2 years before the earthquake. Well, when this was written, everybody knew what he was talking about. Uzziah was king from 787 to 735. And to give you a little bit of an idea, it's around 707 when Israel is taken off completely by Assyria. It started before that. I can't remember the year. But 707 is where they get ripped out of Israel. Jeroboam, he was king from 790 to 745, so there's a lot of overlap there between those two. So if we're trying to figure out when this earthquake took place, the text gives us 2 years after the earthquake. It happened sometime between 787 and 745. But then we can narrow it down because of some information from Josephus. He puts it at 753 BC, which means that this prophecy from Amos was in 751 BC. So now, sometimes the dates are very not based on solid information, but I think that's a pretty solid guesstimation. Yeah, that's a typo, isn't it? I thought I copied and pasted that. Yeah, it's 2 years before the earthquake. Yeah.
As he's writing it?
Well, this was written after the earthquake, and the account is of what happened 2 years before the earthquake. And that's the way, you know, most books are written, not as it's actually happening. And
something happened 2 years before
9/11. Yeah. It's like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, they were all written years after the event.